I was born bold.
Deliverr. Simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverr.com.au. Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now or visit worth.com.au.
Breakfast with Gary Ryan and Tim Watson.
Welcome back, everyone. Great to have you with us. It is a Tuesday of grand final week. We build up the grand final super replays are on. The 1984 grand final between Essendon and Hawthorn's on. I wish we could go to air with... I think it'd be very entertaining just watching a game with the Wisp that he's playing in and putting it to air. For a little snapshot, I got a sense of that. There was a fullback kick out. All I heard was, oh, where's the Wisp? He usually snuffles them. Yeah, I haven't seen you get one yet.
No, I was quiet that day.
No,
come on, move on.
Move on. No, I can't. Hey, Matty Rendell has joined us right now. This is the Kia Conversation Starter. Time for the Conversation Starter with thanks to Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. We love talking to Matty, and particularly on the back of the big news last night or yesterday afternoon, it broke. Jeremy Cameron, who hadn't recommitted to the GWS Giants, the longer it went, the more you thought something might be going on. And can you believe it, Matty, as I welcome you, that the Geelong Footy Club are playing off for a premiership this Saturday. And on the back of that, they're going to add Jeremy Cameron to Tom Hawkins, Patrick Dangerfield and Gary Rowan next year.
G'day, Gary. Where's me going? Oh, look, don't they do it better than everyone else? And perhaps equal to Richmond, really, when you think about it. Excuse me, but it sounds like it was always going to be Geelong. You know, they talk about he loves the lifestyle up in Sydney and he can go fishing and all that sort of stuff. And obviously, Geelong appeals there. But I had another thought that I think he's from Panola, in the southeast of South Australia. Born there, but his parents live in Mount Gambier. And I just wondered also if that was a factor into it too, that maybe the parents can come and travel and watch more games. Can you imagine it's very difficult for the parents to go to Sydney? They would, it's a 5-hour drive to Adelaide, fly to Sydney and back again. So maybe it's a bit easier for him to come and, for his parents and family to come and watch him play down at Geelong. It's about a 4-hour road trip, I think. But don't they do it better than anyone else?
Hey, Matty, just hold on there, mate. We've got a bad line. I'm sorry. We've got a really bad line. So we might get you to hang up and we'll call you straight back. It's just a bit echoey at the moment, so we'll get you straight back up. That's Matty Rendell to join us. Do you get it? Do you understand that with the decision from Jeremy Cameron? If I had to say, why is he coming back, what would you say?
I would say that because he wasn't going to be on the same deal, I would think that there's something in the background about money.
I don't think he would have lost out if he had stayed financially.
I think there may be something in the background about money. I'm not quite sure what it is. I think that that'll be revealed in the fullness of time. But the other thing is the lifestyle issue, which obviously the living in Geelong can accommodate for him. Matty Rendell is back with us. Matty, we got most of what you had to say then about the fact that his parents were living reasonably close and that type of thing, and they can get the opportunity to play. Can I just ask you this question, though, about these deals? Because they don't happen overnight. How long do you think that Geelong could possibly have been talking to him and his manager about this possibility?
Oh, the whole year, I'm saying, because he was a free agent. So technically, all these restricted free agent, technically you don't have to pay for him. And they'd be looking at their list and going, okay, people will be saying, how do you fit him into their salary cap? Surely it's, it's very tight. But you would assume that Hawkins is coming off big money at 32, that Selwood's coming off big money at 32, Dangerfield even at 30. They would be the highest paid players in their team. They've got a lot of great role players around it who wouldn't be on big money. So they would probably back end. If he's got a 5-year contract there, so they pay him $400,000 or $500,000 in his first 2 years, and then he gets loaded up in the last 3 years when probably Hawkins and maybe even Selwood have retired and gone, and that's how they fit him into the back end. That's how they would have done it with Tom Lynch as well.
How do they get the deal done then, Matty, you reckon? How will they do it?
obviously he's restricted free agent. I read this morning that Dave Matthews, the CEO of GWS, wants better compensation than the compensation pick they're going to get. So he's trying to encourage Geelong to trade. So they traded for Dangerfield. They didn't have to, but they did. So that was Stephen Wells is fantastic at this. He always likes for everyone to have a win-win, as against some others who want a win-loss. So he'll make a deal happen. And the other thing that they've got in their favour, they've got all the draft picks from Tim Kelly going to West Coast. Now, I don't exactly know what those draft picks are. Someone will ring in and let us know. So they've actually got currency to make a better deal happen to get Jeremy Cameron.
So do you think they'll be more prepared to do that? I mean, everybody postures in a situation like this. GWS say immediately, okay, we'll match the offer and then we'll draw the deal out. You think, though, that Geelong would be more reasonable in this situation?
Well, they have been in the past with the Dangerfield one. They were very happy to trade as best they could with Adelaide. So I think Adelaide might have finished. I think the compensation pick might have been round pick 15, which was no good for the Crows and Dangerfield. So they were happy to trade for him. It's been a great deal both ways. I can't quite remember who the Crows got with their trade picks. But they've got the ability to be able to trade as well, Geelong, and I reckon that's what they'll do to get the job done. And because he's very fair, Stephen Wells, and actually the club, Geelong's very fair to deal with. I've always found them great to deal with.
11, 13 and 16 are their draft picks that they've got.
They might do a couple of those, or they might do the 11 and maybe their first round next year, something like that. So GWS get better compensation than they would have got for a free agency.
Hey, Matty, you know this situation really well, and we keep hearing of the fact that Zach Merritt has attracted interest at Collingwood and they're into him, and they would like the idea of moving Treloar on and having somebody like a Merritt who kicks a ball better than Treloar in their midfield. Is that their thinking behind this?
Oh, I've got no doubt about that. The other factor with Treloar and no doubt Adam doesn't think it's an issue with him with his wife being in Brisbane and their kid, but I think the club is a bit worried about how he's going to handle that situation, because this time last year they floated him a move up there. They knew that his wife, or I'm not sure they actually married, I think they are, his partner was going to go and play netball up there. So they floated it this time last year, and Adam wasn't interested in it. So it's come back again. So I think they're mostly worried how he's going to spend his time trying to work out how to catch up with his wife and kid, and it might affect his footy. And also that kick effectiveness would be an issue for the club as well. The only problem for that is that Merritt's contracted, and so is Treloar. So I don't know how you make this happen. If Essendon say, no, we're not trading Merritt, well, they're not trading him. He's not going to Collingwood.
Yeah, no, absolutely, which is, I mean, in the end, you can make all sorts of cases and say he'll be out at the end of next year, so therefore do you want to move first and all those sorts of things. But the bottom line is, if Essendon want to keep him, then they keep him. If the Western Bulldogs want to keep Josh Dunkley, they keep Josh Dunkley, whose name was mentioned with Essendon yesterday.
And that's the same scenario that happened with Danaher last year, of course. So he was contracted and they said, no, we're going to keep him. And really, unless the Papley deal got done to Carlton, they weren't going to get decent compensation for Danaher. And this year, you would assume that they get, pick eight in compensation for Danaher for free agency, which is, considering he hasn't played for 2 years virtually, that's not too bad. I would have thought that's okay.
Hey, Matty, obviously we know what's going on at North Melbourne at the moment with their coach, Reece Shaw, and there's all sorts of talk now about the fact that they're going to have to move on and find themselves another coach. We also know they're going through a rebuild. Potentially, what type of coach do North Melbourne need if they have to make this change?
Well, obviously they're going to be very young. They're going to lose 11 to 15 players, by my reckoning. Most of them 25 and over. So they're going to need to find probably 10 players, because I think lists are going to come down to 40. So they need to find 10 players. So they're going to be very young. I'd be, if I was him, I'd be trying to pick off some young players at the good clubs who haven't had an opportunity, who are very good players, and go to the draft and get about five or six really good players as well. So that means there's going to be a bit of pain for them, but I reckon they need a coach who can actually coach kids. Now, this might sound a silly comment, but I've known some coaches over the last 20 years, 25 years, who really like to coach a senior team but struggle to coach a team of kids because you need a stack of patience. And the other thing you're dealing with, Wisp, is you're dealing with a group of millennials, and don't worry, they're a bit different. not in a bad way, but they're a bit different to, you know, when we grew up playing footy, when abuse worked for us, and whereas now you have to praise a lot, and you, if you praise a lot, you get the best out of them, the millennials, and the attention span in team meetings and the like is lower. They're just desperate to get back onto their phones. So you've got to know what's important when you're having your team meetings, and cut it short.
Matty, on the situation with Reece, and we don't know what the future holds, but it is going to be challenging, yeah, of course. Where does that leave Ben Brown, who was pretty well known? I think it's on the record that Reece and he just didn't, for whatever reason, see eye to eye in terms of, from a footy point of view, I'm talking about, therefore the decision's made. Is there a rethink needed here now with Ben Brown, or is it too late?
Well, a lot of it will be up to Ben Brown and how far he's got down the track,
yeah,
with another club. And if he's got down the track with another club, I would think he's gone.
Yeah.
Even if they decide they might want him back, but I'd be biting the bullet and doing that trade if that's the case. I would have thought it would have to be more of a whole club decision about moving on these players and not just in Reece Shaw's hands. The other factor is that, you know, they might not have a coach before the trading period finishes, but they've got some really experienced blokes there who can sort out. Brady Rawlings, who I rate highly, is a footy manager. Obviously, Scotty Clayton, been around and knows what he's doing. You've got Gavin Brown and Johnny Blakey there too. So I wouldn't worry too much if they don't have a coach before the end of the trade period. They're just going to have to suffer some pain for two or three years, but they have to do this.
Yeah.
Like Brisbane did it, and we saw a great recovery. Like St Kilda have done it. Numerous clubs have... the Crows are well on their way to getting to recovery as well. So it's people just got to sit tight for a little while.
Hey, Matty, we appreciate it, mate. We'll talk again during the week. It's a very, very interesting time. It's about to get really hot, so it's great to have you on board, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Matty.
Thanks, mate.
Matty here. Thanks to Charlie Battisti and Co. Melbourne's most trusted repair of prestige German vehicles.
I want North Melbourne fans to stand by, because I think you presented to me before we came on air today a blueprint for what North Melbourne need to follow.
I did it last night.
That's right. And I know you did on the show last night. A lot of people maybe didn't watch the show last night. Or maybe a couple of people didn't watch the show last night. Not a lot of people. But it is fascinating as to what the Brisbane Lions did and the situation they found themselves in that mirrors what North Melbourne are finding themselves in right now.